Imagine flying on GE Airlines. You probably haven't, right? But get this, GE Capital Aviation Services, GECS, they own something like 1,900 aircraft.
Wow, that's a massive fleet.
It is, and it makes them one of the biggest owners globally. And here's the kicker. Roughly 40% of all commercial jets worldwide are leased. Just think about that.
40%? That's huge. It really underscores how vital leasing is.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into this financial powerhouse, leasing. Our mission,
Okay.
give you a shortcut to understanding why businesses, airlines, retail giants, why they lease instead of buy.
And crucially, how you can figure out if it's the right move for your situation.
Right. So let's start basic. What exactly is a lease, fundamentally?
Okay, so at its core, it's pretty straightforward. It's just a contract. You, the user, the lessee, you get to use some piece of equipment.
Okay.
And the owner, the lessor, they provide it, and you pay them periodically for that use. It's really about having access, the use of the asset.
Without actually holding the title, the ownership papers.
Precisely. Access, not necessarily ownership.
Got it. But I'm guessing it's not one size fits all. Are there different kinds?
Oh, absolutely. Good question. There are really two main flavors. First, you've got the operating lease, sometimes called a service lease.
Okay.
These are often shorter term. Think maybe like a 2-year car lease. Your payments usually don't cover the lessor's full original cost because the asset, like the car, still has value left at the end.
Residual value, right?
Exactly, residual value. The lessor expects to lease it again or sell it. And crucially, they usually handle the maintenance, taxes, insurance, that sort of thing.
Ah, so less hassle for the user. And they often have a cancellation option.
Yes, that's a key feature.
Yeah.
The lessee can often cancel it, maybe with some notice or penalty.
Okay, so that's one type. What's the other side of the coin? The more long-term commitment.
Right, that would be the financial lease. You also hear it called a capital lease or sometimes a triple net
It's a
lease.
triple that way, that name.
Because with these, you, the lessee, are typically responsible for the triple nets: insurance, maintenance, and taxes.
I see. So the user takes on more responsibility.
Definitely. These are much longer term and they're fully amortized. That means your payments are designed to cover the lessor's entire cost for the asset plus their profit or return over the lease term.
And these are usually non-cancelable.
Generally, yes. They function a lot more like long-term debt. It's a serious financial commitment.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. Why do companies go down either of these routes? What are the big drivers beyond just needing the equipment?
Great question. A lot of it comes down to strategic financial positioning. Let's talk about tax-oriented leases.
Taxes, okay, always important.
Very. In this setup, the lessor is the owner for tax purposes. And this is where it gets clever. It's not just moving money around. A well-structured lease can actually create new value.
How so? Create values.
Yeah, think about it. Imagine you're a company, but maybe you're in a low tax bracket or you have losses carried forward. You can't really use tax deductions like depreciation effectively.
Right. Those tax shields aren't worth much to you.
Exactly. But the lessor, often a bank or a company in a high tax bracket, can use those depreciation and interest tax shields. So they take the tax benefits.
And they pass some of that saving back to the lessee.
Precisely, often in the form of lower lease payments. So the lessee gets cheaper financing, the lessor gets the tax breaks, and effectively, less tax is paid overall to the government. It's a win-win generated by the tax difference.
That's a powerful incentive. We also hear about sale and leasebacks, like Bed Bath & Beyond selling stores or Warner Media selling its Hudson Yards office.
Yes, exactly. That's another common strategy. A company sells an asset it already owns, gets a lump sum of cash, and then immediately leases it back from the buyer.
So they get cash up front, but keep using the asset.
Right. Warner Media sold its huge condo space for what, $2.2 billion, then leased it back. Bed Bath & Beyond did it with real estate too for about $250 million. Instant cash injection, but they keep operating in the same places.
Makes sense. Okay, besides taxes, what are other sort of good reasons to lease?
Well, a big one is reducing uncertainty, particularly around future value.
How does that work?
Leasing basically transfers the risk of what that asset will be worth down the line, the residual value risk from you, the user, to the lessor, the owner.
Ah, okay. So if you lease a computer, You don't have to worry about how much it's worth in 3 years when it's obsolete.
Exactly. That's huge for tech. One survey found like 82% of firms said avoiding obsolescence risk was a key reason they leased computers. It keeps you flexible.
That's a really strong point. So, any others?
Sure. Lower transaction costs, especially for short-term needs. Think about renting a car for a weekend trip, buying and then selling a car for 3 days. Impractical. Renting leasing is way easier.
Right. Okay. But I've also heard some claims that sound maybe less solid. 100% financing.
Yeah, you have to be careful there. That's often a bit of marketing spin. Leases frequently require down payments or security deposits, so it's not truly 100% financed. And watch out for claims of low cost based on some weird interest rate calculation. The real comparison needs more care.
Okay, so let's bring it home for the listener. You're faced with this choice: lease the asset or borrow money to buy it. How do you actually make that decision?
It boils down to comparing the financing alternatives. You need to look at the incremental cash flows. What's different between the two options?
So like the money you don't spend up front if you lease.
Right, the purchase price you avoid. Then you factor in the after-tax lease payments you do make.
And crucially, the tax benefits like depreciation you give up because you don't own it.
Exactly. You line up those cash flow differences over time.
There's a specific method for this. I think I've heard of NAL.
Yes, the net advantage to leasing, or NAL. It's basically an NPV, net present value, calculation. You discount those incremental cash flows back to today using your company's after-tax cost of borrowing.
And if the NAL is positive?
If the NAL is positive, it means, financially speaking, leasing is the better deal compared to borrowing and buying. It quantifies whether those benefits, the tax differences, the risk transfer, actually outweigh the costs for you.
Okay, fantastic. So to recap, we've looked at the key lease types, operating versus financial. We've unpacked the big whys, especially those powerful tax angles and managing risk. And we've got a tool, the NAL, to help make the call.
That covers the core ideas, yeah.
Excellent. So here's a final thought to leave you with. Considering how leasing can strategically shift tax benefits or hedge against obsolescence risk, think about your own situation. Is there a high-value asset, maybe in your business or even your personal life, that you own? But perhaps leasing might actually be the smarter financial move, something to chew on.